Sometimes we think of this particular subject matter, we think of end of days or the end days or the last days or troublesome days. But, you know, we're not going to be specifically talking about that. We're going to be talking about trouble as in everyday, ordinary kind of stuff that sort of gets in the way of us wanting to do what we'd like to do the way we believe that God would have us to do things. And we understand who's in charge. He is. But there are desires and there is there are things that he has put into our heart, and we want to be busy doing those things. And occasionally, you know, when you're doing those things, trouble has a way of trying to disrupt your apple cart. So we're going to talk about, you know, when trouble comes, what is it that we as believers can do so that trouble doesn't get us all upset and doesn't turn over our apple cart and get us off course and away from doing what God has put in our heart to do. Because in essence, that's one of the things that trouble wants to do. It wants you to not do good. It wants to distract you. It wants to get you off course. So I've given you a really simple definition of trouble. This is all found in the Vine's New Testament Expository Dictionary. Trouble in the Bible means to agitate, to disturb, to put confusion in motion. I thought that was an interesting statement there, is whenever you know that all of a sudden things are starting to get disruptive and you're losing your peace and you seem a little confused, and you know trouble has shown up and reared its ugly head. And trouble means to cause a whirlwind. And, you know, we've had some windy days here recently, and I don't know how many times I can pick up leaves in my backyard, but they're just not my leaves anymore. I mean, all of a sudden other people's leaves start swirling around in my yard. I know you experience the same thing. And to cause a whirlwind, to make one anxious. Trouble is packaged as persecution, affliction, distress, or tribulation. Those are just synonyms for trouble in Scripture. I want to remind you that there's three avenues where trouble can travel into our life. We know the troublemaker, which is the devil. That's one way trouble can show up. And we can identify his work because he comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He's a liar and the father of lies. So we can sort of ascertain, okay, when the troublemaker shows up, it shows up in the form of deception and lies, tests, trials, temptations, in order to steal, kill, and destroy, to get us out of faith and get us over into fear. But, you know, there's times when we sort of put ourselves in trouble. I mean, we're the agent. We're the ones that are disobedient. We're the ones that walk away from God. And then when we do that, we open a door for trouble. It wasn't the devil. We opened the door through our disobedience. And that's something that we are responsible for. Now, when the enemy shows up, we know to resist him. Now, if I'm opening the door to trouble, then I have to close the door, and that is to ask the Lord to forgive me. That means I have to repent, get myself aligned with him. And Scripture says I have to confess my sin before him. Confession in Scripture means that I agree with the scenario exactly the way God speaks about it. So I say the same thing God says about it. So when God says I'm disobedient, I say I'm disobedient. I agree with God, and that's confession, and confession brings cleansing. So when we resist the devil, he has to flee. When we confess our disobedience, we receive cleansing. And then there's sometimes trouble comes to us through other people. How many of you know people sometimes, you know, want to bring their trouble into your life? They want to share their trouble with you. And there are times where you weren't doing anything and the enemy wasn't stirring anything up, but other people, you know, they brought their boatload of trouble and they wanted to, you know, invite you onto their ship, and they wanted to share all of their trouble with you. And we just have to be careful, because in that scenario, what we have to ascertain is, how can I help that person who's troubled without them troubling me? Paul put it this way to his son in the faith. He says, you know, in your relationships, make sure you don't partake in other people's sins. There are people that come and they, you know, whether it's gossip or backbiting or slander or anything like that, they at times, you know, want you to jump onto their ship and on their side of the story and agree with them and take arms against whoever for whatever. And but that's not going to bring, you know, a resolution. That's just going to stir up more trouble. And so we have to be wise in that manner and try to help that person get rid of the trouble that's bothering them and get them to trust in the Lord. So, you know, trouble tests us, doesn't it? When trouble rears, it really is a test. And primarily, it tests our trust in God. That's where we're really being tested when trouble shows up. It's the whys and the whats of life that occurred. You know, why in the world is this happening? What in the world did I do? You know, all of things that we sort of process when we're encountering something that's agitating or disturbing us, or we're confused about something. There's a whirlwind, or something's trying to make us anxious or worried. But we can pass this test, and we can learn how to trust God. So let's look at Psalms 56. I'm going to read the entirety of three psalms, and I'm just going to give you one prevailing thought out of each. And I've written it down so that you're already ahead of me. But this is Psalms 56. And the psalmist said, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." So he's saying, you know, there's just a constant whirlwind around me of people that are trying to stir stuff up and trying to agitate and irritate and cause me to be disturbed. And for some of you, you're thinking, yes, that happens every day at work. I mean, I just go to work and it just seems like there's a whirlwind of all kinds of activity and all kinds of trouble. And he says, you know, it tries to create anxiety and fear. And he says, all right, when all of that's going on, I'm going to trust in you. Here's one of the refrains of the psalm. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words. Their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps. And when I lie in wait for my, when they lie in wait for my life, they shall escape by iniquity. In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, when my enemies will turn back, this I know, because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, and you have not kept my feet, and you have not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before you in the light of the living. It's hard to sometimes put into like a neat little phrase how disruptive trouble can be and how much it tries to get us to stop praising the Lord. But the psalmist said, with all of this whirlwind, the disturbing, the anxiety, that I made a quality decision that I am going to praise or I'm going to exalt his word. And so trouble's a test, and we want to pass that test. So I want to say that the power of this psalm is it reminds us of the power of God's word. That heaven and earth would pass away, but God's word would never pass away. So in the middle of trouble, remember the power of God's word and praise the Lord and thank him for his word. Psalms 27, this is many people's, one of their favorite psalms, says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me, and do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help, and do not leave me nor forsake me. O God of my salvation, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path, because of my enemies, and do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The prevailing thought that I want to leave with this psalm is do the one thing that matters, and that is try not to do 10 things. When trouble shows up, try to keep it simple. Don't try to figure everything out. In other words, if you identify it as the enemy, as I said earlier, resist him. If there's something that you permitted, just graciously go to the Lord and he'll forgive and cleanse you. If somebody else is trying to pull you in to their problems and create trouble for you, give them good counsel, give them good wisdom. But in the midst of the whirlwind and being disturbed and being confused at times and being agitated, we are not going to make good decisions in that moment. But what's one good thing I can do? Well, one good thing that we can do, according to verse 4, is one thing I have desire, and that is the only thing that I'll seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Purpose, when trouble comes, to stay on God's side. I've used that phrase many times, and that doesn't originate with me. That comes from Mel Piper. Mel Piper was one of the instructors at Rhema for years, and he admonished us over and over and over again, in life's battles, stay on God's side. And that has been something that has really helped me navigate trouble and troubling times or dealing with troubled people. I wish that a pastor's vocation or calling was just filled with good reports and constant praise. But at times, the reason that a pastor is necessary is because there's perils and problems and troubles. And one of the things that you know, God graces a pastor to do is help people with their troubles. And but that can transfer on to me, and my heart can get weighed down, and I can get troubled, and I can get anxious, and I can get overwhelmed. And in those moments, I have to say, you know, what matters most, what's most important, is I need to stay on God's side, help other people stay on God's side. And there's just one thing we need to do, and that is we need to stay in a place where we can go into the house of the Lord and we can seek the Lord. And when we seek him, we're going to find him, and he's going to help us in our time of need. He's going to help us in this hour of trouble. So I want to admonish us all that there's power in the Psalms. We're going to read one more Psalm, then we're going to talk about the Psalms for a minute. So let's go over to Psalms 46. This, once again, is one of the top 10 Psalms that people memorize and recite and go to in challenging and troubling times in their life. It says, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. It doesn't mean he's not there other times, but he really seems to manifest himself in the 11th hour. And how many of you know some people love the 11th hour when, you know, they're burning the candle at both ends and they have deadlines and, you know, they've been procrastinating, haven't been you know, good stewards of the time. Here comes the 11th hour, and some people even thrive in that environment. But boy, can they cause trouble for their coworkers or for their family, because just because they like the 11th hour and all of the tension and all of the pressure that comes with it, not everybody enjoys that environment. Can I get an amen? But God is there to help people in their troubling times. It says, therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth is removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There's a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. I wish it just said God would just help her. But he said at the break of dawn, which means we know right on time. That's another way we could put that. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, pause and consider that. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolation in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Ponder and consider that. So we need to, in the midst of troubling times, we need to still our soul. It's how we get to know him. There's pressure when trouble comes to try to fix it or resolve it or do something immediately. And sometimes the best thing to do is nothing. It's nothing. It's to exalt the word of God. It's to remember the one thing I'm going to do is keep myself on God's side. And the other thing I'm going to do, and I'm going to remind myself to do when trouble comes, and no matter what avenue it comes at me from, is I'm going to get quiet so I can hear from God, so I can actually get to know God. And I'm not going to try to fix this or figure it out. I'm not going to put a lot of energy or effort into this. I'm just going to go, and I'm going to sit, and I'm going to wait on the Lord. And I'm going to let patience do what it needs to get done in my life, and I'm going to hear from God. And that's a real challenge for us, because we're problem solvers. Most of us understand that when a problem or trouble or something agitates us or irritates us or we're disturbed about something, there's a whirlwind going on, we're anxious about something, we want it to stop immediately. Well, one of the ways it's going to stop is if you get still. Because if you get still, it's not going to be causing you to spin out of control. But it's really challenging to be still when there's a lot of things swirling around us. So we have to go somewhere. And Jesus told us exactly where to go. And I'm going to close with this. Go to your closet, your prayer closet, and close the door. That's what Jesus said. Close the door and meet with God. And stay there and linger there and wait there. And soon you'll be glad that you did. You'll come out of that place and you'll have a better head on your shoulders. Can I get an amen? There's power in the Psalms. So tell me a few things that you may know about the Psalms. The Psalms were Israel's what? Songbook. And they were written about things that everybody encountered. Everyday trouble, everyday problem, everyday scenarios. Have you read the Psalms? And sometimes they start off with the narrative of something that the psalmist was encountering that was hard, challenging, troubling, difficult. And then he began to recall and remember and recite the goodness of God. And it led him to end up praising, exalting, and glorifying the Lord. There is that pattern within the Psalms. So most of the songs that are written that resonate with us in our culture today have a story to them. Would you say that some of your favorite songs tell a melody, you know, and in the melody there's a song, there's a story, there's something that you resonate with? Bad, bad Leroy Brown. I mean, you can think of songs. You can think of songs and you're like, why do I like that song? Why do I like it? It's because there's something within it that you identify with or that connects with you. And that's, and the Psalms, we gravitate towards the Psalms. There are people that they may not necessarily read like the Old Testament, like the law. They're like, I don't want to read the law. They don't want to read the history. They don't want to read Deuteronomy. They don't want to read the book of Judges, but they'll read the Psalms and the Proverbs because there's something there that speaks to them. So a psalm was Israel's songbook, and there was 150 of them. But what else do we know about the Psalms? The Psalms weren't just written by David. They were written by numerous patriarchs. David probably has the most, but he wasn't the sole contributor to the Psalms. Most of them came by inspiration. And they came out of a season that the whole nation had experienced, and therefore everyone who was singing those psalms had something in common. You know, when we sing about the goodness of God, about the mercy of God, about the grace of God, the kindness of God here, that's something that we all have in common. And so when you're getting together and you're singing or you're making melody or singing of the Psalms, there's something that all of us have in common at that time. It's part of our story of God's grace. Now, it's individual, but and yet it's corporate all at the same time. So the Psalms were the nation's story of God's faithfulness, even in trouble. Even when they opened the door and God's vindicating his people over their enemies or over the forces of darkness and helping them in troubling times. So the Psalms also came by inspiration. Bob Dylan, who is probably notably one of the greatest songwriters in recorded history, was asked one time, a very noted article in the Rolling Stones years ago, and they asked Bob Dylan, how is it that you come up with your lyrics? And he said something that's very profound. And he said, I write what I hear blowing in the wind. That's inspiration. Now, is he always inspired by the Spirit of God? No. But were his psalms, were his songs or his psalms something that was going on in the nation that the whole nation could understand? Was talking about the season of our nation? Absolutely. So I'm using some natural analogies or some things that way to show you, well, in the church, the Spirit of God is working and moving, and when he's working and moving, there's people that have a psalm. And that psalm can be sung. That each and every one of us are admonished to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. Now, that's not a song that you're reading off of a script or off of sheet music. That's a song that comes from your heart. Scripture said, sing a new song to the Lord. Well, new song would be something you don't know unless you're given to it by inspiration. So when we talk about the power of a psalm, you know there is tremendous power in troubling times when you're singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When you're exalting his word, when you're remembering, I'm staying on God's side. I'm not letting this trouble pull me over into the ditch. I'm staying connected to God. And I'm going to have his wisdom. And I'm going to get quiet. When the enemy gets loud, I'm going to get still so I can hear God. I'm going to know God better from this. My roots are going to grow deeper because of this. My faith is going to grow stronger because of this. Because when you and I face troubling times, our faith muscles can be exercised and we can experience God's victory. So we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're trying to help other people also, just as a reminder, who are trying to pull us into their trouble. No, let's go to the Lord, right? Let's exalt the Lord. Let's exalt His Word. That's good counsel to them. So I want to finish us by reading out of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15, see that you walk carefully or circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So we would say that a foolish person or a person who's not operating in wisdom is not walking carefully. They're walking impulsively. It says, redeem the time or get time to be your servant is how I like to think of that. You know, if I'm redeeming something, it's coming back to me. It's coming back to me. So time wants to, trouble wants to take your time. Trouble wants you to spend time figuring out how to get rid of trouble. But it says, no, redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Therefore, because of this, do not be unwise, that admonition once again to walk in wisdom, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. The word dissipation means squandered opportunities because of worldly impulses. Something dissipates. It's gone. Dissipation comes from the Greek word apate. Apate means deception. When people believe that self-medication or the path of doing anything along those lines is going to solve their troubles, what they're doing is they're pursuing the world's way of trying to stop trouble. And all they do is create more trouble. It's squandering one's life in pursuit of pleasure or to cover pain. That's what dissipation means. It's a really rich word in the Greek language. We don't use it. We don't use it in our English vernacular very much, but we understand what it means when we squander things and we don't make the most of them. And when we medicate or self-medicate in order to find pleasure or even to try to reduce the pain in our life. And he's using here, you know, just one example. You could put many different examples in there. Anything that's excessive just leads us down the wrong path. And so we have to be wise. That's the admonition here, is walk in godly wisdom. Don't allow yourself in troubling times to make unwise decisions. It says in verse 19, here it is, speaking, it says in the latter part of verse 18, don't be filled, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. There's the instruction. How do I stay filled with the Spirit and walk in wisdom? Speaking to one another. What's the next phrase? In Psalms. In Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Then it says singing and making melody in your heart to who? To the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So I want to conclude, because I want you to go back and maybe read that and circle, highlight certain phrases, is that when you and I begin to sing and make melody in our heart and sing unto the Lord, not only does it still the work of the enemy, but it just opens up. It just opens up the blessings of God into our life. That's the wise thing to do. What's one thing to do? Where is there power? There's power in a psalm. And you're singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. And you're singing a new song. And you're singing a spiritual song. Well, that's a song from your spirit unto Him. And you're giving thanks unto Him. You're not thanking Him for the trouble, but you're thanking Him that He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. And you could just start off, and I'm not really a singer. I'm not one that you should give a microphone to and allow me to lead anybody in a psalm. But I know many times in my life that I've just had a melody or a psalm in my heart, and I'll just sing it unto the Lord. And it's just amazing how the whirlwind stops, agitation stops, disturbed thoughts stop, being troubled stops. In that environment, God's Spirit is active. So He's saying, don't go the way of the world, and don't squander your life, and don't squander the things, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. Well, how am I going to stay full of the Spirit? By singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in my heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not thanking God for the trouble. I'm thanking Him that He's given me authority over the troublemaker, that He forgives me when I'm the troublemaker, and He helps me to give counsel to those who are troubled. Thank You, Lord. There's power in a psalm, and I want to encourage you. Sing, even if you don't believe you have a voice that's worth recording like me, sing anyway. Exercise those spiritual muscles. Exercise your faith. And I know all of us, regardless of what's trying to trouble us, have lots to give thanks for.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged or inspired you to God's best. If you have any questions about today's message, need prayer, or would like to learn more about Living Word Fellowship, please call 641-828-7119 or visit us at lwfknoxville.com.